Rob, how's it going?
It's going well, man. Just, 1-0. Can't be better than that.
Yeah, you know, Connor and I noticed it yesterday. It's great to be able to talk about how a game went as opposed to last year when you're just scrapping and clawing to try to find, you know, just some positives. We had G.G. Jackson and Vince Williams Jr., but that got old after a while. It was nice to see Ja Morant back on the floor, Desmond Bane playing well. Santi was phenomenal the other night. But what did you think of game one?
Well, it was good to just play a game, a real game against a real team, a game that matters, not preseason. It was a game that mattered. And, it felt good. It felt good to have guys back. You know, you mentioned everybody that was back. It felt more real than just about anything did at all last year.
Right.
So it was a long time coming to have that sort of feeling, and then to come away with the win, it was good. And I thought the Grizzlies played well. And you know, I thought what was really good is you got a win without Jaren playing. You got to win with Zach Edey not playing well. So you overcame a couple of things to get a win. You had three guys score 20 points. You know, Jaren's down, but Santi steps up. Zach doesn't play well, but Jay Huff steps up and has a big game. The bench scores 37 points. I mean, it just felt like they overcame a couple of things and were still able to get the dub. And because of that, it felt like a really successful opening night.
Yeah, and I know you were in the house. How were the Jazz fans feeling about death by Jay Huff and Santi Aldama? That's got to be insane. It's got to be an insane feeling.
Yeah, that doesn't feel good. At least Santi's, it was early. It was first quarter, it was third quarter. So, you know, it was kind of when everybody was still settling in. So maybe they didn't notice that one as well. But then the Jay Huff thing, holy cow, just knocking down the shots that he knocked down. He was very good. I imagine for a Jazz fan that didn't feel great, especially considering, you know, the two bigs that they got with Kessler and, I guess Markkanen's not really a big, but Kessler had a huge game, 16 and 14 in that game. So he was really good. And then Jay Huff just starts stepping outside, knocking down threes, going 3 for 5 from distance. He had a couple of block shots. He had 5 rebounds. So he was terrific. 22 minutes. I don't think anybody would have expected 22 and a half minutes from Jay Huff.
And in the closing lineup, too. Lineup, Jay Huff.
Yeah. So he was great. That was great to see. And because I think Jay Huff, the one thing you think about Jay Huff is he's serviceable. And he certainly showed that he was serviceable in game one.
Yeah, now early returns on the offense seem nice. Obviously, only one game in the regular season, but 28 assists to 12 turnovers. They got a lot of open looks around the perimeter, which was nice to see.
No doubt about it. And when they were getting the open looks, they were knocking them down. I mean, 12 of 26 in the first half from three. So that was great. 5 of 19 in the second half. The thing that I thought stood out about the offense not just scoring 126, which was great, but I think the thing that stood out was only 13 turnovers.
Yeah.
And in the second half, they only had 4. You know, that was something in the preseason that number really stood out, that the turnovers were just too many, and they needed to cut that down. And I thought they did that on opening night, to have the 13, to have just 4 in that second half. I mean, to outscore them 24-13 in points off turnovers, that was huge. You know, when you win by 2, every small stat is huge. And that one was huge for the Grizzlies. So, I think the opening returns on the offense were, I would say, positive. You know, Santi even mentioned it to me after the game, those 28 assists. He said, that's Grizzlies basketball. That's where we expect to be. So that was good. You know, they got to the free throw line a bunch. They knocked down the open shots that they had. They didn't turn it over as much. They had 28 assists. I mean, I think everything looked pretty good offensively, at least for the Grizz.
Do you think Santi Aldama, obviously I don't expect him to have 27 every night and get 10 three-pointers up and make 5 of them go 50%, and I don't expect him to have a performance like last night every night. But how much does this offense sort of – it has the ability to – when he's coming off the bench and everybody's healthy, it has the ability to feature him because he's a really good cutter and he can definitely knock down his shots from the outside. We were talking about it yesterday. I think he definitely has the potential to shoot up around 40% if he's getting the looks that he got the other night.
Yeah, and I think with Santi, you know, I don't think last year was a step back by any stretch for Santi. I just don't think it was much of a step forward for Santi.
Mm-hmm.
I expected more of a step forward, and I think now this year, I'm expecting that from him again, to take that step forward, and I think this offense can be beneficial for him. You know, the bigs in this rotation all seem to be able to do different things, and he has a very special skill set that can be very productive in this offense because, you know, you have a guy like Zach who's just going to be the big, who's going to be around the basket, who's going to be knocking, you know, just getting rebounds and battling inside. And then you have Brandon Clark, who's got that super athleticism. And then you have Jaren and Santi, two guys who can stretch the floor. And Santi's got the ability to stretch the floor. And I think you look at Santi's shots in the opener, all 16 of his shots, I would say at least 14 of them, he was wide open.
Yep.
I mean, it was, you know, it's a matter of knocking him down. And he knocked down 5 threes. He knocked down 10 shots. Had a couple of alley-oops at the rim that Ja, you know, left him no doubt to knock in. So I think with the way that the offense moves, it should produce open shots for guys, especially at that four position. So I think he could be a big part of it. And, you know, it's good to hear a lot of his teammates saying that this is the guy to watch out for this year as far as taking that next step. And it's Santi, because I think Santi needs to. He's going to get the opportunity to play, and you hope he builds off what he did in the Olympics, and at least a good start here for Santi.
What do you think happened with Zach Edey the other night? Definitely a rough game, but he looked like a rookie. It shouldn't be that surprising. Your first regular season game, you got to play with a little bit more. You got to be more deliberate with your movements. He fouled out with 8 minutes to go. I did appreciate Taylor Jenkins keeping him in there so he could get his lumps. I think that's pretty nice. In the grand scheme of things. But what do you think happened to Zach Edey the other night to sort of produce the type of game he had? 1 for 5 from the free throw line, only 5 points, 5 rebounds, and what, 14 minutes because he fouled out?
Yeah, I mean, I think if there's anything he could struggle with here in his rookie season, in games where he'll come out and you'll say, boy, he looks like a rookie, I think it's going to be because of foul problems. And that was certainly the case against Utah. He couldn't defend without fouling.
Yeah.
And, you know, give credit to Walker Kessler, who's a good big and I think was a good matchup for him, both, you know, in summer league when they faced off against each other and then in the opener as well. You know, a good NBA center that he can be tested against. And this test was not good for Zach Edey. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it other than he's going to take his lumps at times this rookie season. I think especially going up against a good player like Kessler, you know, that hurt him a little bit. It'll be interesting tonight, too, because he's going to go up against another very good big and a guy that can step outside a little bit. So how's that going to work? You know, he's going to take some lumps here and there his rookie season, but I would expect a big comeback for Zach Edey tonight. I mean, I don't think this is something that you're overly concerned about. I don't
right.
think you believe it's going to be a trend. I think it's just going to have nights like that. And he had a night like that the other night. So I'm not overly concerned.
Yeah, the one thing that did concern me, though, and obviously I hope he doesn't get matchups like this all the time, but when he was on John Collins, he got a couple of ticky-tack fouls just because John Collins is very good off the dribble, and he's quicker. He's a lot quicker getting to the rim. And Zach Edey seemed to struggle with that. And I think he could struggle with Alperen Şengün tonight because he can do some similar things. Maybe not as athletic, but he can put the ball on the ground. He's very offensively skilled.
Yeah, no doubt. And so that will be a tough matchup tonight. And I think you're right. Like I said, I'm not concerned,
right?
Because Desmond Bain said it. He said he's going to have nights where he's going to look like a rookie. We all did. And I think the other night he looked like a rookie.
Yep.
And, you know, if there's any concern of mine of Zach Edey, it is games in which he gets himself into deep foul trouble. And that's what happened. He got two quick ones, had to go to the bench. came back out, got another one. I mean, it was he played in that foul trouble all night. So that's something he's got to try and, you know, stay away from. But it's going to happen. You're going to have nights where it does happen, and hopefully tonight's not going to be one of those nights.
I'm going to ask this as nicely as I can, I guess, but I have to put it out there. Marcus Smart, any concern there? It seems maybe a little out of shape or something like that, because the start of the game he seemed to struggle. He got into the rhythm at the end of the game. I felt comfortable with him on the floor. But the start of the game, defensively, offensively, he seemed to struggle.
Yeah, I thought offensively there were a couple of times where he looked like he wanted to get his.
Yeah.
And you know, didn't really play in the flow of the offense a couple of times. But I think it was a Marcus Smart type of game. You know, 11 points, got a steal. Maybe shot a little
bit too much. At the end, the old man sort of hook shot off the after the pump fake off the glass. Yeah, that was nice at the end of the game to keep the Jazz at arm's length.
Yeah, he's a veteran. He's going to be fine. I mean, I think it in preseason. I kind of looked at him and thought, boy, I wonder if he's in the best shape of his career, but. I don't know. I think he's playing all right with it. I think it might be more that he got his hair cut, and so he looked a little different. Marcus Smart's going to be fine. I don't really have a concern about him. I think like everybody on the team the other night, they were all pretty winded, you know, playing at that altitude and playing in a regular season game. The speed's a little bit different, and playing with this new offense.
Yeah,
I think guys got tired, and we saw it with Taylor Jenkins in his rotations. I mean, how quick he was to sub guys, and how quick he was getting guys in and out, just because of, you know, they were a little bit winded. And I think that's going to be a problem here for the Grizzlies here in the early part of the season, is still trying to get into that game shape of running up and down the floor as much as the Grizzlies want them to run up and down the floor.
Now, looking around the rest of the Western Conference, I don't know if you got to see that Thunder-Nuggets game last night, but Thunder get over top 102-87. The Nuggets did not look good in their opener at home. They can't shoot, Rob. They don't have any shooters. And you hear Jokic after the game saying, we're all average shooters. He said that out of his mouth. We are all average shooters. They went 7-for-39 from three. And it shouldn't be that surprising. They've let a lot of guys walk in the offseason who could shoot the three ball.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you win a championship, you know, and if you want to hold on to everybody, it's very difficult to hold on to people going forward. So, yeah, they had to lose a couple of guys, and that's going to hurt you as you continue to move forward. And, I mean, I don't know. The whole Russ deal, I don't understand that fit. And, I mean, I'm not blaming Russ for everything. I just don't understand the fit.
Yeah.
But they're different, and they're kind of sliding a little bit, and it wouldn't surprise me. But you still have Jokic, you still have Murray,
yeah.
So you're going to be there on most nights, and you're going to be in the game most nights.
Although Jamal Murray has been, I don't know, he's been very inconsistent since the beginning of last year. I think that's something that I've been paying attention to for a while.
I think we kind of wait for playoff Jamal,
right. Right, but it didn't really hit last year. I mean, he was very inconsistent in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, that's true. So, and if he's going to be that way, then they are a much different team. Yeah, I don't know. You hate to overreact after just a couple of games, but I mean, Oklahoma City looked great last night.
They did. They sure did. They sure did. They only made eight. They didn't shoot very well from the 3-point line, but they have so much talent. They're a very deep team.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And when Hartenstein comes back, I mean, I'll be interested to see how they look when he plays. And Holmgren can actually play the position he's supposed to play.
Yeah.
How much better that'll make him? He was great last night. So how much better will that make him? How much better will that make the team? So they're certainly dangerous for sure.
Yeah, and then after night one, when we watched the Lakers beat the Timberwolves, I think there were a lot of people leaving the Timberwolves for dead. They're like, oh, they're going to have to learn a lot through the early season. They looked pretty damn good last night, and Julius Randle had a really good game. 33 points, 13-for-17 from the field, 5-for-6 from three. I still think this Timberwolves team is going to be very good, despite what we saw opening night.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they're going to be – I think it's the Timberwolves, the Thunder. Really, those two are the two that I think are the top of the Western Conference. And then you have probably about 5 or 6 teams battling for that next spot. But, yeah, I like those two a lot. And I think we've seen it already here in the first couple of games. Minnesota's just to lose Karl Anthony Towns, but to pick up Julius Randle, I think is kind of a wash. And then just to add Dante DiVincenzo, I think was a nice pickup. So I think that, they're a team. Dante DiVincenzo has a streak of 29 consecutive games with multiple threes. It's the longest streak in the league ahead of Desmond Bane. Dante DiVincenzo.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good. And previous to his year last year with the Knicks, we didn't think about him in that way at all.
No. So I thought that was pretty interesting, and that's just another weapon for Minnesota. I like Minnesota. I like their depth. I like their size. I like their athleticism. They're pretty athletic in every position.
Yeah. Now, real quick, in the Eastern Conference, before I move on to the World Series, got to get your pick there and your thoughts there. Eastern Conference, I know that we had the 76ers try to get themselves better, although they have two guys that are going to be injured for at least the start of the season, and Joel Embiid and Paul George. We saw the Knicks versus the Celtics night one, and the Celtics shot, 29 for 61 from three. Even though those teams tried to make some moves to get over top and compete with the Celtics, as long as the Celtics stay healthy, it feels like they're going to win the Eastern Conference. It's unreal what they're able to do. And it feels like Jason Tatum has fixed a lot of his shot mechanics that he was struggling with last year.
So, I try to think of who could compete with Boston. And
those are the two teams. And then you can't count out the Bucks. Maybe the Magic could be in there. We could have a conversation.
The Knicks. I mean, the Knicks should be.
Right.
With the moves that they made. And, the Knicks should be that team. I think Philadelphia, the way that they're going to handle injuries and the way that they're going to go through their process this year is going to be an absolute disaster.
Really?
And I think it'll hurt them. I think the 76ers could be a big – make a lot of noise in the playoffs, because I don't think they're going to make a lot of noise in the regular season.
Right.
So I'm looking at Philadelphia at like 4, 5, 6 in the Eastern Conference. Because of the way they're going to handle things. But then come playoff time, if they are healthy, come playoff time, they could make some noise as a lower seed. Boston should be at the top. The Knicks should be a team,
right,
that should be at the top because of the moves that they made too. So I expect them to be there and give Boston a nice run. I'll pick the Knicks second in the East.
You know, with the 76ers, though, the way they're handling things, I tend to agree with you. And I know you say, okay, if they're healthy come playoff time, we'll see what happens. But I watch the Clippers do that. I mean, handle these
every year.
These injuries with care and do the checkups, yep, and do the load management, not play back-to-backs, and it still didn't make a damn difference. It didn't make a lick of difference by the end of the season.
No, you're right. Because, you'd have guys who were playing together for the first time. I mean, and you'd put lineups together that were playing for the first time because you didn't play them all together during the regular season. And it's tough to just kind of step in and look like you've been doing it all year. And you're exactly right. That's what's happened with the Clippers over the last couple of years. And then you get to the playoffs and you think it's all going to come together, and it just doesn't. That's very possible with Philadelphia, and because I think that's the type of regular season that they're going to have. And, will it come together in the postseason? Who knows?
Before I have you break down the World Series, I do have to acknowledge our Cardinals fandom and how it seems like we continue the trend of NLCS MVPs, ALCS MVPs, World Series MVPs. We had Adolis Garcia not too long ago. I mean, you had Randy Arozarena. And then, of course, Tommy Edman hitting cleanup in the NLCS, .407 average, 11 RBIs. The guy was ridiculous. Come on. It feels like every mid-season deadline acquisition that comes from the Cardinals continues to just light it up on the new team they join.
Yeah, that was rotten to see. Tommy Edman, of all people, I mean, just blasting the baseball and knocking it out of the park and making big plays. And yeah, that was sick. That was sick to see, and especially considering the Cardinals gave up or got really nothing.
Right.
In return. So good for Tommy Edman. Good for the Dodgers. And I don't know what other former Cardinals are in this World Series.
Jack Flaherty.
Yeah. Luke Weaver for the Yankees, who is suddenly their closer. So we'll get to watch him, Jack Flaherty, on the hill tonight for the Dodgers. And then, of course, Tommy Edman at second base.
Yep, of course. Of course. That's just how it works. Now, who do you have? Who do you have, Yankees or Dodgers?
Oh, man. It's a fun series because I think the Yankees got the pitching, but the Dodgers have the lineup, I think. At least it's playing better right now. Yankees' lineup has really come together. Well, their stars have started to really shine. Judge, Stanton, Soto, those three guys are really shining for the Yankees. But for the Dodgers, it's their entire nine. All nine guys are really performing right now at the plate. And I think the Yankees got better pitching, better starting pitching than what the Dodgers have. So I'm going to go with the Yankees to win the series. No, I'm going to go with the Dodgers.
Okay,
the Dodgers lineup.
Dodgers
lineup's too much right now for me right now.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Yankees tonight in game one with Garrett Cole against Flaherty. But I'll go with the Dodgers to win the series.
Yeah, one thing I am excited about, though, and I think most baseball fans are, just seeing Shohei in a series that matters. Seeing him in a World Series is phenomenal. That's great for Major League Baseball, and that's great for the normal consumer.
Yes. Shohei and Kike Hernandez.
Yes.
Because there's a guy that dominates come postseason play.
Yes.
I mean, he and Tommy Edman have been incredible in the NLCS. But I'm really hoping that it's a Shohei and Judge show, that these two are at their best and show base because, you know, ratings should be good for this. The viewers should be good for this, because you have the Dodgers, you have the Yankees. It should be a well-viewed series. So I hope baseball's best come to play, and that would, of course, be in Shohei and Aaron Judge.
All right, we only have about a minute left here, but I joined you on the odds couple earlier in the week. Do you have any odds couple picks to give my listeners before we roll?
Oh, here, let me look. Let me look
Let's
at
see.
My card.
Yeah, check the card.
We got plays tonight. We got a big play in Boise State tonight, -3.5 at UNLV.
Okay. Ashton Genty experience.
That's right. And then let's see where else we're going this weekend. I'm taking Ole Miss -20.5.
Okay. All right.
I like Washington +6.5 at Indiana.
Nice. I can rock with that.
I like Mizzou +14 at Alabama.
Okay, I don't know. I'm out on Mizzou until proven otherwise.
Yeah,
although I'm a Brady Cook fan. Shout out Chaminade.
Yeah. I'm liking Navy +12.5 against Notre Dame. And Baylor -4.5 against Oak State.
All right.
Well, there's a couple of plays for you. Free plays for you.
Free plays. Well, Rob, I appreciate it, man. Enjoy yourself this weekend.
Gabe, always a pleasure, man. Anytime.
Yes, sir. He is Rob Fisher, Grizzlies pre and post and sidelines for FanDuel Sports Network. He is on X at the Fish Nation. Now, we need to go ahead and get up out of here. So we'll send you off to Grizzlies on the road against the Rockets. First night of a back-to-back. Eric Hasseltine will be on the call.